The following program is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the Carriage House of the Codman Estate in Lincoln, Massachusetts for Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Once a volunteer, always a volunteer, Tennessean Barry Nolan, a Boston University Terrier, if ever there was one, Miss Francine Akbar. And his motto is Veritas, his manner Cantabrigian, his face crimson, Mr. Tony Khan.
I'm here to tell you it's actually Veritas. Charlie Veritas was the founder.
Charlie Veritas is the first guy. Who's the captain over there?
Francine.
No, Tony, but Barry.
Okay. You're off to a flying start. To my left, team two. Distinguished Brandeis graduate, Columbia was just an afterthought. Arnie Reisman. From CBS Boston, the collegian with the sacred heart, Paula Lyons. And a Wheatonian classicist with a minor in slapstick, Miss Lenore Shannon. Captain tonight, fine?
The Sacred Heart. Yeah. Yes.
Miss Paula, our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab that pen and paper and wait till your voice stops changing before you go on radio. Let's begin with a category of laws, regulations, and proclamations titled Tenants, Anyone? Ooh, booed right off
Ooh,
the top.
Right there,
that's, that's a promising show.
Yeah.
Please explain the following. Lenore, catch 22.
A catch 22 is a loophole in, well, it was in the military, in the Joseph Heller book. It is a loophole that allows someone to leave the military under a mental non-compassment,
you
can get it by faking you're crazy.
Crazy, well, but the catch is that in order to prove you're crazy, you must be sane, and you'll be proven to be sane because only a sane person knows he's crazy.
Knows he's crazy, right?
That's exactly right. 10 points, very good.
I thought that there was always a catch 22. The thing that seemed to be the greater meaning of catch 22 was also shown in that great existentialist movie, The Hill, and it really meant that authorities can make you do anything that they want that you're willing to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's interesting. You referred to it as a loop. It is. It's a closed loop of reasoning which accomplishes nothing or a negative result. From the Joseph Heller novel, it referred to the hero's efforts to be deemed psychologically unfit for service, but hearing instead that trying to get out of the service only proved he was psychologically fit for service. Very good. Tony, the law of diminishing returns.
Every April 15th,
yes.
I find I have less and less to give,
More
and more is asked of me.
That's true. Very good.
Basically, law of diminishing returns is the harder you try, the less you get in return.
Right. Yes, that's in the general sense, that's true.
The more you put in, the less you start getting out. And it really involves almost every situation from marriage on up.
I'll go 10 points. And my wife's in the audience. In economics, it's the law stating that if one factor of production is increased while the others remain constant, the overall returns will relatively decrease. For example, if you add more laborers to a harvest but don't increase the land, you will not get more output.
Right.
Arnie, the Monroe Doctrine.
Hands off.
He's a long way there.
Everybody out of my hemisphere. What is it?
That's pretty much
pretty
it.
Pretty much it, right? This is it.
Didn't that have something to do with Happy Birthday, Mr. President?
That's the wrong Monroe.
Yes, it did. 10 points. Very good. That's exactly what the Monroe Doctrine was.
That'll do.
That's exactly right.
JFK's policy to keep your hands off those hemispheres.
Yeah.
It's President James Monroe's. Was he president?
President James Monroe, 1823. The Western Hemisphere is closed to colonization. Folks, don't come over here and try and colonize us.
Right. Stay away.
Francine, and I'm not going to let you get away cheap on this. This is harder than it looks. The Fifth Amendment.
You can't be forced to testify in a way that will be self-incriminating.
That is a very small part of the Fifth Amendment. Yes, that's true. Uh-huh. Anything else?
My fellow Americans.
Well, my family kind of like lived by the Fifth Amendment.
Any help from the other side on this?
There's something else in that amendment?
Oh, there's a lot in the Fifth Amendment. Any help from the audience on this?
In the Constitution.
It's
due process.
Due process.
No one shall be deprived of liberty or property without due process of law, which is a direct quote from the amendment. It also establishes the ground rules for eminent domain. You can't have your property seized without just compensation. And provides for grand juries and prohibits double jeopardy. Very, very far-ranging amendment. Give them 5 points for that effort.
And 6 years in Leavenworth.
Yeah. Yeah. 11 years in 6 words.
Paula, I love this. I found this in one resource. I know we're going to get a lot
of
mail.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I know we're going to get a lot of mail, but I just loved it so much I'm going with it. Please give me the three tenets of Murphy's Law.
Anything that can go wrong will.
Yes, and at the worst possible time is a corollary also. That's number one.
I am not aware of these two other ones right off the bat. Any help here, guys?
Not.
If it's...
Interesting. Any help? I think that's all we're going to get from that side. Any help from the other side? Look at that. There's a series.
It's just like that sort of thing. The more you're in a hurry, the more likely it is to.
It's those are all the corollaries, yes. But there are three basic rules.
Whatever you like to eat
rules.
Is bad for you, or something.
Yes, that's awesome. One more point for that. That'll be 5 points. Any help from the audience? The three laws are. Number one, everything that can go wrong will, and at the worst possible time. Number two is, left to themselves, things always go from bad to worse. And my personal favorite, number three, nature always sides with the hidden flaw.
I never heard those.
Just think that everyone should be acquainted with those three laws.
Nature always.
And finally, Barry, the prime directive.
The prime directive is from Star Trek, and that is to not interfere in any way in what would be the normal destiny of other life forms.
10 points. Very good. That's exactly what it is. That closed up the score pretty nicely. A 25-25 game at the end of round one. Let's go on to round two, the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points here up for grabs to Barry if he can sniff out the truth, or to you, Paula, if he cannot. A few seconds, musically enhanced, to come up with a definition for the word SNED. S-N-E-D. SNED.
So funny.
Gentlemen.
We're in print. Information about our first book, Says Us, Scripts and Quips from Says You, is available on our website at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. And with the book, a CD featuring highlights from our early years, if you can call a collection of bad puns, groaners, and triple entendres highlights. You can find out about the book, the CD, and upcoming show events all at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word.
Pterodactyls. Ooh, thank you very much, folks, for giving us a few moments with the word SNED. We will go first to Lenore.
SNED. SNED actually is it's an Irish word. It's a sort of a part of Irish vernacular. In the middle of the night, you might hear, "Who's that ringing my bell at this hour?" And it's SNED, Mum. I forgot my key. A SNED is it's an iron sort of kettle or tureen kept in the kitchen, used to put cooking grease. You know how you really can't throw it away and you don't know what else to do with it. It sort of gathers your bacon fat, and it's kept on the ground. And it's usually made of iron, and it gets dumped somewhere every once in a while.
Daddy, the SNED's full. Go out, dump it out in the backyard.
Right.
Yeah. A grease SNED. I love it. Arnie?
It's a noun, and it refers to a hairnet, used by assembly line food workers to prevent hair from falling into the product being manufactured.
Yeah, just slip the old SNED on and...
Just put the SNED on and...
Cover it with a snood and...
Cover it with a snood. See if Sammy Snead's still playing golf. And...
That's the snugger than Snead.
Right.
Okay.
So a pill garlic would not need a SNED.
A pill garlic, as we had on the show, will not need a SNED.
Okay. Paula.
Well, you might notice that I laughed hysterically when I heard this because, I mean, my best friend and my sister's best friend growing up was SNED. Her name was Jean Snedden. She was of Scottish derivation, even. And she was SNED to me. So I was delighted to learn, of course, that there were other meanings. Certainly must be Scottish in derivation, too.
Oh, just tell us the truth, Paula.
Okay, here comes the truth, baby. The truth is that SNED... It just means to cut off, lop off, trim, prune. That's all it is. A little verb, SNED.
Oh, the verb. The lilacs need snedding, would, in effect. The choice seems to be cut off or lop off a hairnut or a crock of grease.
And thou.
That's right. Those are our choices.
Yes.
That's romantic.
Well, we think he was trying to, I think he was trying to put us off with a hairnet, as that we know is a snood.
Are you sure?
It's this sort of thing that women in the 40s wore to kind of fabric thing to catch their hair.
So your hair looked like a brisket, right? You know, are they kind of...
Your hair looked like a brisket.
Well, anyway, so that's why we didn't think it was that one.
I think a snood is something else, and I think a sned is a hairnet.
Well, you just go for it.
Okay.
Well, listen, just for the record, I'd like to say that I've been consistently wrong picking Paula, but being a sentimentalist at heart, I'd like to pick her again because I think she has the right answer.
Okay, against Francine's real better judgment, we'll go with hairnet.
Arnie, they think a sned is a hairnet.
And that's what I wanted them to think. Because it's not.
Oh! 10 points of bluff. Successful bluff. Someone over there was telling the truth.
For goop.
Who might that have been?
I finally had the right answer.
And she finally did. The definition reads?
It reads to lop off, prune.
Very good. Let's go on to round three.
A snood, yeah. Like
from the Sobeck family of Davis, California, who listened to us on KQED-FM, a game the family calls the homophone game. No, they don't. They call it the homonym game.
Stop, you're both right.
You know, the homonym game, because the homophone game would be something else. Please give me the homophonic pair of words that fit the following phrases. An example, a naked animal might be a bear.
A bear.
Okay. Lenore, try this one. A minor insult.
A minor insult.
M-I-N-O-R?
Yep, a minor insult.
Is.
These are very hard, but I like them.
Minor, little, insult. Small,
a
little.
Jab. Is a jab is an insult? What's an insult?
A minor insult.
Slight.
Oh,
10 points, very good. A slight,
very good.
Slight.
Just keep talking.
S-L-I-G-H-T, S-L-E-I-G-H-T, very good.
Yeah.
Tony, a rasping equine.
Horse.
A horse. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Very good. Okay. 10 points. Arnie, a sea song about a shack.
Shanty.
A little too easy, sure. That one. A shanty is correct. S-H-A-N-T-Y-C-H-A-N-T-Y. Shanty. Francine, try this one. A nail duty. N-A-I-L-D-U-T-Y. A nail duty.
Tax.
Oh, tax.
Tax. Very good. And it's for 10 points. Paula, a weak ruse. W-E-A-K-R-U-S-E. A weak ruse.
A weak very ruse. A slick trick. ruse is a trick or a weak deception. Scam.
Very quiet on this side.
Now it is quiet on that side. Any thoughts?
Ruse.
Any thoughts from the other side?
Faint
is where we want to go. F-A-I-N-T. F-E-I-N-T. A faint would be a weak ruse.
Yeah.
And finally, Barry, a direct passage.
Oh, straight. Yeah.
Oh, a straight. Very good. Pulls it out. Tying the score at the end of round three, 55-55. Let's go on to round four, which is Barry's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Salanders. S-A-L-L-E-N-D-E-R-S. Salanders. Gentlemen?
Have you surfed on over to the Says You website yet? It has lots of interesting features. You can play along, offer your own contributions, or join in the chat at the Daily Dispatch. And now you can find information on our new book and CD set, Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You. All of this and more at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word.
Thank you very much. I have to say, this has been a great audience today. Thank you all for coming out and spending a little time with the word Salanders. We'll go first to Tony.
Salanders is a society for people who are sick and tired of dating guys named Sal.
Had it up to here. Join Salanders. Okay.
Actually, they're... It's part of the body, and it's located somewhere between your altoids and your hemorrhoids.
They are
paired tendons that connect the scapula, which are the shoulder bones, to the back muscles.
Paired scapula.
It allows you to go, No?
Paired scapular tendons that let you go, who?
Yeah, right.
Francine Salanders.
It's a fish farming term referring to newly hatched salmon.
Newly hatched salmon. Oh,
God.
Which I don't imagine is that pleasant to look at, but I don't know. Barry, Salanders.
Well, you've heard of thrush as a rash in your throat. Salanders is a rash on a horse's behind. So to use it in a sentence, if you think the elections of 1800, 1876, and 1888 were awful, this last one would make Salanders look good.
So it's a rash of horses behind.
No. Right.
I think the people have spoken. They're going to let that one go. All right, we have a rash on a horse's behind, we have newly hatched salmon, or we have paired scapular tendons.
Well, they're just all dreadful. I just think they're awful. I'd not heard of those
you know,
paired
using the French word for room
muscles
or something solid or you know.
I mean, I took anatomy. I used to be able to name every muscle in the body. I haven't heard of those.
Fred, Joe, Pete.
But it is possible I've forgotten one little thing. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, it could be cute little fish, little salmons.
Fish, little salanders?
I don't. It's almost too similar not to be. You know, the similarity might be what we need to pay attention to. Although I could be wrong.
Oh, she's toying with logic.
Not comfortable with this rash on the horse's
rash on the horse's
feet. I'm not comfortable with that one. It's either Tony or Francine. What are you thinking, guys?
I am always wrong on these, and I think the tendon sounds pretty believable.
All right, we're going to vote for Tony.
Go ahead.
Let's just do it.
Tony, they think that salanders are paired scapular tendons.
Well, search somewhere between your altoids and your hemorrhoids, and you're going to find absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
10 points of luck. I think a lot of the audience fell for that
one, too. So it's the little fishies.
Is it the little fishies, Francine?
It's not the little fishies.
It's not the little fishies. No,
salamanders. A rash on a horse's rear legs and hindquarters.
Very good. 10 points.
Well, now if you had read the card as we requested. Oh, sure.
Hindquarters.
And you know, if I'd held it up and pointed to the real definition, it would have been easier too.
Excellent,
Barry.
Salamanders.
Let's go on to round five with a little help and a little prodding from Hall of Famer David Zobel, who hears us on San Francisco's KQED and KALW. It's a musical contribution titled, come to think of it, Where Are the Halls of Montezuma Anyway? For 5 points, please tell me which song I'm quoting. For 2 more, sing a few bars. And for the full 10 points, identify the state, country, or locale to which the song mainly refers. Lenore, Goodbye Piccadilly, Farewell Leicester Square.
Well, it's referring to...
It's a long way to
Tipperary. And it's a World War II song. A World War I song, rather.
I think yes, come on, audience.
What was the third part of it? I don't care.
10 points. Very well. I got an audience singing, What Am I Standing on Ceremony For?
They want to keep going, too.
Where is Tipperary?
Ireland.
In Ireland. Thank you very much, yes.
So the key, Tony, is wear him down.
Yes, wear him down.
And have the audience perhaps chip in with a little humming.
Yes. Sure didn't
of
hurt,
the tune
did
in question.
Yeah. Tony, try this one. And when she passes, I smile, but she doesn't see.
Oh, yeah. And when she passes, what? Oh, of course. When she passes, I just don't Oh, wait. It's coming from the scapulars. Girl from Ipanema.
Yes, 10 points. No. You know what? You know what? Where is Ipanema? First of all, where is Ipanema?
It's in Rio.
It isn't, yes, it's a
beach
in
Brazil.
But I think we're going to take 2 points away from one of the worst renditions of Girl from Ipanema that we have ever heard. And we just want you to know we're serious.
Haven't you heard of jazz?
Yeah.
Improvisational jazz?
Well, how about Anton Bruckner then?
Arnie, animal carpet wall to wall, American ladies 5 feet tall in blue.
Oh, dear. Yeah. What is this? Animal carpet 5 feet tall. What's the next line? Animal carpet 5 feet tall.
Animal carpet wall to wall.
Wall to wall.
American ladies 5 feet tall in blue.
I don't know.
It's
a tough one. This is not coming.
Is it Lucy in the Sky with John?
No, it's not the Beatles. A little after that. Late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, I was out of the country.
Any help from the other side?
It's not if you're going to San Francisco.
No. Any
was
help?
It from the Who? Is
Jefferson?
It the Who?
Is it the
No, any help from the audience?
Marrakesh
it is the Marrakesh Express. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Don't you know you're riding on the Marrakesh Express?
Francine, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Fly me to the moon.
Good up to that point. Yes, very good.
Oh, you're like a one-way ticket, Alice.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Yes.
In other words,
I've had enough of that. But five bonus points to that side for actually singing the song that was your responsibility.
Let's go.
And we'll go to Paula.
My daughter told me never to sing here again.
Yeah,
she did.
Good. You
and rightly so.
Yeah.
Paula, that's worth 5 points, yeah.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air.
Quaint little villages here and there, you're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod.
10 points, very good.
You sang it.
Very good.
That's like a default.
Old Cape Cod. And finally, Barry, that game with the 15 numbered balls is the devil's tool.
And that rhyme, and that stand, and that game is pool, and that stand starts with a P, and that rhymes with T, and that stands for tool.
Yeah. No.
Trouble in River City.
And that stands for trouble.
Trouble.
Right here in River City.
Yeah, that's
and
the
that starts with a T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if it ever comes up that you need to give Robert Preston to anybody, give it to him.
Meredith Wilson.
Very good. River City, Iowa, making the score, 93 points for Mr. Nolan's team. That is what I call a winning score. Congratulations. Yes. That is all we have time for this week. Antonio Oliart and Robin Moore man the meters, and my colleague with Quill and Query is, of course, Mr. Philip Salkin. My colleague. Yes. Right. Once every few weeks, we remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. See you next week.
Says You is the co-creation of WGBH Radio and Pippin and Finch, Boston. Funding for Says You is provided by this and other NPR member stations and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans on the web at rwjf.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrusts.com. The Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.